Hey, let me tell you how much I love doing this podcast. You know how much? I love doing this podcast so much. I love getting to interview just amazing people, and I love the fact that these interviews are helpful to so many of you. The very first episode of Spiritual Life and Leadership went online back in September of last year, 2018, and only a handful of people listened to those first couple of episodes, but the audience has been consistently growing since then. It's not a huge audience yet, and that's okay, but what's really exciting to me is how broad this audience is becoming. And when I say audience, I'm talking about you, right? This is not someone else. This is you that I'm talking about. Now, most of you are in the U.S., here where I am, but listen to some of the other places that some of you are. We've got people in Sweden, in the UK, Taiwan, Australia, Switzerland, Thailand, Germany, Brazil. And so I just want to say thank you for listening, and thank you for being a part of this small but growing community. And you know what? I would love it if you would shoot me an email and just kind of let me know that you're there. Marcus@marcuswatson.com. Now, I have a confession that I need to make. When I was a child, I was never read the book The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. Now, some of you will gasp in shock. How is that even possible? Others of you, because, you know, you're in other parts of the world, will say, what's The Giving Tree? Well, The Giving Tree is a sweet book by a guy named Shel Silverstein. For children, and it's about a tree that gives itself away until there's nothing left of the tree. It has given itself completely away for the joy of others. And it wasn't until I was in my 20s that I finally read The Giving Tree. I think it was basically because I saw it in the bookstore. I had heard of it. I knew it was a famous book, and so I picked it up off the shelf, read through it, and then put it back on the shelf. Thankfully, I had read the book by the time I first heard Dwight Gibson's spoof called The Ungiving Tree. Now, I hesitate to call it a spoof because really The Ungiving Tree is, as far as I'm concerned, as simple and as profound as Shel Silverstein's original. In today's episode, Dwight Gibson reads to us The Ungiving Tree, and he reflects on the importance of sharing with the world the gifts that God has given us. I'm Marcus Watson, and this is episode 19 of Spiritual Life and Leadership. I'm excited to have Dwight Gibson with me today here on Spiritual Life and Leadership. Dwight is the chief explorer with an organization called the Exploration Group. Hi, Dwight. How are you doing?
Hey, it's good to be with you today, Marcus.
Yeah. So just to kind of get to know you here in the beginning, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and what the Exploration Group is and the kind of work that you do.
Well, thank you. Yeah, grew up in Michigan and was raised, born in the Detroit area and moved around to various places, Saginaw, Michigan, and some towns in what we call the Thumb of Michigan, and went to school in Indiana, went to school then in outside of Chicago, Wheaton, the graduate school, the Billy Graham Center. And after that, met my wife, who we've been married a number of years now, have three adult children who are all away from home. And then few years ago, moved to the East Coast. I always said we wanted to live in another country, and when we moved to the East Coast, we did. And then just this last year, moved to a town called Riverton, New Jersey. And Riverton, we said for years, we lived in the west suburbs of Philadelphia, and now we live in the east suburbs of Philadelphia, which happened to be in New Jersey. And we are in a little river town, and kind of the most intriguing thing about this, I am sitting today talking to you from kind of our home and also the headquarters for the Exploration Group, which is a bank that was built in 1907. And its claim to fame before us, it was the design studio of the person who designed all the packaging for Arizona iced tea.
Wow.
And if you go way back, we were the Cinnaminson National Bank. And as I've been telling my friends, Marcus, back in the day, this bank actually printed money. Huh. And so it was the national banks in that era had their own currency that was backed by the federal government. So I now live in a place that printed money.
Wow. That's crazy and really cool in a way. And so you're the chief explorer with the Exploration Group. And why don't you tell us about what the Exploration Group is and what you guys do?
So the Exploration Group guides executives and what we call new pioneers in a rigorous framework to find opportunity. A number of years ago, started the Exploration Group in 2009. And what I had found is that for years, when people have a big opportunity or a big problem, they say, kind of, how do we manage that? And the reality is, if you're replicating something, you can manage. But if there's a big opportunity, big problem, or something that needs to be done differently, you have to explore because you're not replicating. And what we found is that there's principles and ways of thinking that go with exploration that were true of the great explorers throughout history, whether it was kind of Thomas Edison in the worlds of invention of the photograph and the electric light, or people like Lewis and Clark. There was principles that were followed by great explorers when they were trying to do something new. And so what we do today is we take those principles and work with organizations to help them figure out, maybe it's a new department, a new thing that they want to do, launching of a new organization. And we take principles of exploration to help them get from where they are to where they want to go.
Wow. And is it all kinds of organizations?
You know, it is. Over time, a few years ago, I was on, you know, kind of the typical airplane conversation, and I was telling, you know, the person next to me what I did, and they said, well, what industry are you in? And I said, well, actually, I'm in the exploration industry. And by that, they said, oh, do you mean like gas or oil? And I said, no, we do exploring like Lewis and Clark did. And what's really intriguing is you look at exploration, the principles apply in any industry. Whether it's, you know, manufacturing or service industry or nonprofit organizations, the exploration principles can be applied in any of them. So that's why I say we're in the exploration industry.
Wow. This is really fascinating to me. And you know what I'm thinking? So I'm thinking out loud here. And as we record this podcast, I would love to talk more about that, but we have a plan for this podcast, so let's do that. But maybe we can do another recording sometime, another episode sometime in the future, and talk about like these principles of exploration, because I think that the world is changing. I talked with a few episodes ago with Todd Bolsinger from Fuller Seminary, who wrote the book Canoeing the Mountains. I don't know if that's one that's familiar to you.
It's an excellent book. Yeah. Actually, not only have I read that book, I led an organization where I'm the chairman of the board. We use that book to kind of guide us. Phenomenal book.
Yeah. So just great. Those are principles. He's talking about principles of exploration. So, and something that I think churches today really need, because the world is not what it was before, in terms of the way the culture and Christianity coexist. You know what I mean? The church doesn't have the impact it used to have, or the influence, and all of that. And so those are some of the things that I'm always interested in. So maybe, sometime we can come back together in a month or two and talk about principles of exploration. Does that sound good?
I would love to do that. And I think your premise is right. The days are different. And in a sense, the assumptions of another time are not necessarily the assumptions going forward. And if churches and organizations kind of want to think about things in a different way, my premise would be is the exploration is the process or the thought process to address that changing time.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, let me ask you a few quick kind of get to know you questions. And the first question I want to ask you is, when, Dwight, do you feel truly alive?
It's when I'm exploring, when I'm finding new things, when I'm kind of looking at something that's fresh and new. The old Robert Frost poem, the roads and the converge in the wood. I always take the one less traveled.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And if your life was a book, what would its title be?
I think it would be The Journey. The Journey.
Say more about that. Why do you say that?
Well, I look, I look back over time, you know, I mentioned that we've moved to New Jersey. Last week, I read a piece that said this, you know, what state has more people moving out of it than any other state? It's New Jersey. Hmm. You know, and you say, what are you doing there then? I'm not sure, but it's a part of the journey. When I look over the course of my life, there's been different seasons and there's different things.
Yeah.
And it's a journey.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. And so then what would the title of the current chapter of your life be?
Current chapter. Well, actually, in light of the book being called The Journey, I think probably the current chapter would be called something like, you know, either The Desert or On the Way to the Oasis.
Hmm.
Because right now it feels like, okay, we're moving in a direction, and I don't quite see it, but it's out there. So either kind of desert or oasis, something in that vein.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. All right. What is the most formative book that you've ever read?
Well, the Bible has been very much kind of the shaping of my worldview and my thoughts.
Yeah.
When I go beyond that, it's actually a book about Thomas Edison that my mother gave me when I was in first grade.
Hmm.
And that book was, they used to have these arrow books and you could get them for, I don't know, at that time, 45 cents. And my mother bought one of those for me. I read it through, or she read it through to me so many times. We wore it out that I had to get another one.
Wow.
And now, you know, kind of living this life of an explorer, I look back at that book, and that book was the beginning. Now there's been other books over time that were really important to me. But you say, what was the kind of the seminal book that started moving everything into a direction? Uh-huh. What happened in first grade, it's taken me years to fully realize the impact of that book.
Wow. That's very cool. You know, most people say, you know, some book there, some big fancy, you know, deep, profound book, but this in some ways was very profound, what a great answer, but like, what a great story. That's awesome. And then one other question, this is maybe a kind of fun question, but what's the dumbest thing you've done that actually turned out pretty well?
Okay. Is this the theme of the podcast? Are we just going to spend the rest of the night?
Well, we could, no.
You know, I'll tell you one. Yeah. Oh man. There's been, yeah, years ago, this is when we were still living in Wheaton. And, you know, you look at our world today. My wife and I bought a house only on a handshake. Hmm. I mean, it was somebody, we bought this house from someone we knew. Uh-huh. And I still remember standing out actually in the drive. Actually, the wife has passed away, but the gentleman lives actually north of San Diego now. I visited him a few years ago. And we were standing in his driveway. And we shook hands, and it was on that deal that we bought the house.
Wow.
And, you know, you look at it and you say, man, that's crazy. You didn't have a contract. You didn't have anything. And we put our house up for sale, Marcus, and it didn't sell.
Oh.
And it didn't sell. And I didn't even remember how long anymore. You know, maybe 6 months or so went by, and our house didn't sell. And I went back to the man and I said, name is Andrew. I said, Andrew, I'm sorry. Our house hasn't sold. Feel free to sell your house to somebody else.
Hmm.
And I learned one of the biggest lessons of integrity.
Hmm.
He said, no, Dwight, we have an agreement.
Hmm. Wow.
And the agreement was that handshake in his driveway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you look at that, it was very like, my goodness, why didn't you have any papers?
Yeah.
That taught me something about integrity, about honoring one's word, giving one's word, that was amazing.
Yeah. And so he just waited until you sold your house? Is that?
He waited. It took a whole year, and they waited until we sold our house.
Wow. That's pretty, pretty cool. Pretty cool. What a great story. Well, awesome. So let's turn now to what we want, or kind of the theme for what we're going to be talking about, which is a little story called The Ungiving Tree. And if I may, I'd like to give a little background of myself, not like my experience of this story. This is part of a video series called For the Life of the World, or at least that's when I first came across it. You can fill in whether it's from something else as well, but that was, and
now, this book was made specifically for that series.
For that series. Okay. And so I watched that series, and that was my first exposure to you. You were the guy on, one of the guys on For the Life of the World. And so, Dwight, the first time I met you, which was one of our retreats when I was on staff with Flourish San Diego, I saw you and I was like, oh, that's the guy from For the Life of the World with the Ungiving Tree story. you were like a little mini celebrity for me at first.
I have my telephone from For the Life of the World sitting next to me right now on my desk.
Really? That big giant orange thing or whatever it was?
It's awesome. It's right here with me.
That's awesome. Side note to anyone listening, you have to check out For the Life of the World. It is a fantastic, super creative series of videos, DVDs. You can probably download them. But just to kind of explore what's our salvation for? That's kind of the theme of that video series, and it's For the Life of the World. Anyway, so there's this little snippet
seven part film series, and this is one of the seven segments.
Yeah. And you read this story to a little group of children, and their responses are amazing. But it was so good that I actually used it in a sermon, I showed this and then talked about it. And anyway, just a great, great story. And so why don't I let you go ahead and read it, and then we will talk about it.
That sounds good.
Okay, good.
The Ungiving Tree. Once there was a tree that had so much to give. It had branches to climb, leaves to jump in, and fruit to eat. But this tree wanted to keep these gifts to himself. Every autumn, children would come and try to gather the tree's leaves and make piles to jump in and play in. And if we were looking at the pages in the book right now, you'd see this picture of a policeman dragging a kid away. And it says, and the tree would call the police. And then you see a little boy climbing a tree, and it says every spring children would try to climb up his trunk and swing from his branches. And then the next thing you see is the tree would release his pet python, Larry. And you see a little boy running away and the python coming out of the tree. And when summer came and children tried to rest in the shade and snack on the fruit from the tree, then you'd even see a little kid's playing hide and go seek. And it's got the little boy hiding, saying 17, 18, 19. And when they tried to play some of their little game, and when one little girl even tried to trade her cookies for a few apples, the tree decided it had had enough. Hmm. And the next picture, Marcus, is a tree with a big barbed wire fence and tall fence around the base of the tree. The tree declared, and there's a megaphone coming out from the tree and a sign that says danger, high voltage. The tree declared no one would ever bother him again. It shouted to whomever would listen. Never again is anyone to climb my branches or rest in my shade. My fruit and my leaves, they are mine, 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 all mine. And then you see the tree with the barbed wire. In the words, and the tree took all that he had and held it all in. And the picture starts showing that things getting a little ragged, and it says for days and for weeks, things are getting a little bit more ragged for months and for years. And then you see just a stump of a tree. And it says, and soon hardly anyone remembered the story of the tree that had so much to give. Mm. And the book wraps up with children happy around a tree. And then the words epilogue And at the end, there was a picture that says, Larry retired and is living a peaceful life in Fiji.
That's awesome.
The ungiving tree.
That's awesome. So I'm just out of curiosity, like, where did this come from? Whose idea was this? Who wrote it?
Yeah, good questions. We were putting together for the life of the world. We were planning an episode about the work and our benefit of our work, and in a sense of giving to others. And in the midst of doing that, the book, the Giving Tree, which has been read to children for many years and beloved, one of our people said, "So what if we looked at that? What if the tree didn't give? What would it look like then?"
Mm. Yeah.
And that's where the idea came about.
That's very cool. And one of you in the video series wrote it, or who wrote it? Do you know?
One of the writers that was involved, and actually I have to admit, I'm not sure which one, but one of the writers that was involved prepared the book. And then, you know, you have to be careful in how you do things to make sure you don't violate any copyright. Yeah. We kind of did a little bit of a mock-up kind of built the concept about what does ungiving look like.
That's awesome. And so I know you've read it to children. Have you read it to anyone else at any time, or was that primarily how you've used it?
You know, I have to admit, Marcus, this is only the second time that I've read it since we did it in the filming.
Really?
So your podcast listeners have a real privilege here.
Oh, I feel honored. Tell us a little bit about maybe how the kids responded, because we can see it in the video, but I'm sure there was stuff that was edited out. But like generally, how did kids respond when you read this to them?
Well, as we were filming, and we had a couple of groups of kids that were a part of the filming, and they knew the story of the Giving Tree.
Yeah.
And as I would read it, their faces, they were just like, what? Because when you hold, you know, the book that we had the similar colors, had a similar look for it. And so when they would initially look at it, they thought I was going to read the Giving Tree. Mm-hmm. So that's what they were prepared for.
Yeah.
And then when I started reading it, their faces started twisting and turning, and, oh, that's not nice, or, oh, I don't. That's not a good book. I don't think that's very nice. And so what was interesting is immediately the kids knew that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
This was not the way things were meant to be.
Yeah. And the way things are meant to be, according to the kids, is what?
Well, it is life-giving. You know, trees produce fruit. Trees produce leaves. There's joy in what the tree does. And so for them to have a mean tree was not being true to kind. It was not being true to what God made that trees to be.
Yeah. I rewatched that clip just a few days ago. And I think you ask, you know, what do trees give? And they say things like, they give us paper, right? And they give us other things.
Paper,
I can't remember.
Lumber.
And
the kids were very recognizing, you know, that the trees had many, in a sense, products or many uses or many gifts that they give to us in various ways.
Yeah. You said a few minutes ago that you were thinking about work or our work. And when you say that, you don't necessarily mean the work that you were doing on the film. You're talking about the broader idea of work that human beings do. What's the connection between this story and work, the work that we do?
Yeah, good question. You know, I think at times we tend to think if I hold on to something, I get to keep it. It's mine.
Yeah.
And one of the values that we see in work is that as we produce something, say when it comes to knowledge given away doesn't decrease. Knowledge given away actually increases. It grows. Mm. And so what we see in the kind of connection between giving and work is that as we give, in a sense, give of the giftings that I have or give of the giftings that you have, as we give that to others, their lives become more complete. I believe that each of us are given gifts and abilities.
Yeah.
And if we hold on to those gifts and abilities, we're probably leaving something out that someone else in the world needs.
Yeah.
And when it comes to those gifts and abilities, how can we bless, how can we help others because of the gifts that we've been given?
Yeah, that's good and important. I mean, really, it's a story about stewardship. How are we stewarding what we've been given? I was thinking about this as well this past week as I was thinking about our upcoming conversation. I used to think about stewardship primarily as money. In churches, we have stewardship season. Some churches do. And what that means is not how are you using all of the gifts that God's given you, but what are you going to do with your money? And are you going to give it to the church? But it's so much bigger than that. And I will confess that I even bought several years ago something called the Stewardship Bible because I thought to myself, oh, I need to be able to talk about giving in the church. And then I started using it as a resource. And I realized, wait, this is about a lot more than just money. And then, you know what I realized, after I met you and, Brett Elder and Stephen Grable, was that, I don't know if you were a part of that, but they were, they were like the editors on this Stewardship Bible. These are guys who are part of the For the Life of the World. And of course that makes sense because, it's about all of life. Stewardship is about all of life, right? And so the ungiving tree, I'm reflecting here, is about how are we giving all of who we are to the world? Yeah?
Now, that's exactly right. And I'll give you even a little more background story on that. You know, the Stewardship Bible, yeah, Stephen and Brett were kind of the executive editors or editors, mm-hmm. that I'm not sure what their titles were, but they were doing a lot of research and a lot of analysis, and that's what produced the Stewardship Study Bible. Yeah. And if you look at what was in words in the Stewardship Study Bible, it comes alive in the story of For the Life of the World. Mm. And so I had gone, this has been a few years ago, I did a slow read of the Bible and read all the different chapters and read all of those notes in that Stewardship Study Bible.
Oh, really?
And it had a very profound impact on me in thinking about, stewardship, thinking about giving. Mm-hmm. And as you said here earlier, many times we think, in a church setting, stewardship is about how much does it cost to run this church? Yeah. And the reality is we have all been given gifts. And how do we take those gifts to lead to flourishing for those around us? Yeah. And what I have found kind of fascinating, individual people have different gifts. So this person over here is very skilled with their hands. This person here is very skilled in technology. Somebody else is very skilled in music. We all have kind of unique gifts and abilities that we can do. Then there's like geographic gifts. There's fruit that's grown in California, and there's apples that are grown in Washington State, and there's, pineapples that come from Hawaii, and there's mangoes that come from the Philippines. And in a sense, literally all over the world, there are different gifts that come from the soil as well. And so people have gifts that they can give to others, but in a sense, the soil and the various countries and the places in our world have gifts that they give, in a sense, for the blessing and the help of all creation.
Yeah. And I think that adds so much value when we can recognize the value of our own gifts as well as the gifts of others. I was sharing with you just before we started recording that I'm currently serving as an interim pastor at a church in Westmoreland, California, which is in the middle of, it feels like remote farm country. remote is about 2 hours east of San Diego. But I've kind of gained an appreciation just being out there for the stuff that's in my refrigerator and where that comes from. I wouldn't have it if there weren't farmers out in what most of us call the middle of nowhere, but what a gift. And last week, one of our farmers said, here's a bunch of extra cauliflower that I've got. I'm like, oh, awesome. And I got to share that then with our neighbors. so much of what we, of the goodness in our lives, right, is dependent on the goodness that comes from someone else. The goodness, and that, so going back to the ungiving tree, right? And when we aren't able to, share the gifts, skills, abilities, passions, resources that we've been gifted with, the world is a lesser place because of it. And it's a better place when we do share. Yeah. So I'm reflecting out loud here.
Now, what's a good reflection? And I think, coming back to your comment about Westmoreland, there's a book mm-hmm. that I read a number of years ago by Kathleen Norris called Dakota. A Dakota Spiritual Journey, or Spiritual Geography is the subtitle. And she said, in God's creation, we're never in the middle of nowhere. We're always in the middle of somewhere because God created it. And I think that's true in the geographic places in our lives, but it's also true of us as individuals. Mm. We are created in the image of God. Therefore, we have the ability to contribute to the broader community around us.
Yeah.
And what does it mean to look for those ways to give? What are the ways to make a difference? And I think part of the lesson of the book of the Ungiving Tree is that by holding on or cutting ourselves off, that doesn't mean everybody has to be an extrovert. Yeah. It's just like, if, you know, as an introvert, what can I do that makes a difference? As an extrovert, what can I do based on who I am? And typically, some of the greatest gifts that we have are the things that we don't even think about doing because it's so natural to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you say a little bit more just about work? I feel like that's an important part of it. I know you have, but like we have a tendency to think about work as just our jobs or stuff that we got to get done. But it's more important than that. Can you say a little bit more about why our work matters?
Well, I think our work matters. There's a couple of things that come to my mind. One is it's the way that we do give of the gifts that we have. So that's one that we've already touched on. A second is that our work allows us to interact with others. Mm-hmm. And so in the work that we have, there's an opportunity for interacting with others that I think is very critical. Mm-hmm. But thirdly, I'll go back to kind of the creation and the Genesis mandate, is that, you know, we're about tilling the land and caring for the soil, is that at time there all around us, there is opportunity. And this is kind of into my world of exploration.
Yeah.
I was doing a speech a few years ago and in Virginia, and I was on this kind of platform, I said, did you ever think that maybe God is saying, I've given you the cure to cancer, why don't you see it? And it may be hidden in a palm tree. It may be hidden in some herbs. It may be in combining some things together that people haven't thought about. And that God has given us the resources. And so part of work is, in a sense, tilling the land, tilling our minds, you know, taking the things that we have been given and, in a sense, fermenting the deeper, you know, pulling the wine out of the grape kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's good. And discovering all the gifts that God has given us. There's so many gifts that have in the world, in the universe, that have yet to be discovered. And that comes through our work and the use of our gifts and our abilities. That's what I hear you saying.
Well, it is. It is very much. And I was speaking recently, and I was talking about John the Baptist. And there's a phrase in the third chapter of Matthew where it talks about bearing fruit. Mm. I think we're all called to bear fruit. You know, you may be a mango and I may be an apple and someone else is, you know, a pear, but we're all called to bear fruit. And it's going to look different because we live in a very diverse world that has lots of gifts and abilities in it.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was watching the video of you reading the story a few days ago, I was, so I jotted down the question, which I think is a silly question, but I thought to myself, I think Jesus really likes this story. You know, my question was, do you think Jesus likes this story? I think the answer is yes. I think he loves the humor of the story. It's a parable, right, that gets to something really deep that connects with something inside of us, right? Something inside of us that when we hear the tree not sharing what he or she has been graced with, right? There's something inside of us that says, that's not right. No, 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 right? Share what you have, share what you have. And then, of course, it turns it on ourselves. And what do I have to share? And what has God graced me with that I can share with the world to draw out the goodness of the world itself, in other human beings, in nature, in a palm tree, like you said. What a great story. I love it. Well, Dwight, how can people connect with you if they want to reach out to you?
Probably the easiest, Marcus, is you could Google the Exploration Group. We have a website, and that website is exploreadelphia.com, E-X-P-L-O-R-A-D-E-L-P-H-I-A, exploreadelphia.com, or just Google the Exploration Group, and you'll find Dwight Gibson, Chief Explorer, there.
All right. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing today and reading the story to us. And and I'm grateful for you and others who were part of the For the Life of the World series and the kinds of things that you guys, revealed, opened up for conversation and for discovery in me and in others. And you know what? And I really do want to have another conversation with you and talk more about exploration and what that looks like and how you're seeing that, how you're leading people in that and and helping people do that. And anyway, that would be great if we can do that sometime in the future. Sound good?
I would love to do that. That would be a real pleasure. And thanks for having me on today. And best wishes for you and everything in the year ahead.
Okay, so the first thing that you need to do after listening to this episode is go and watch the video of Dwight Gibson reading The Ungiving Tree to a group of children. It will warm your heart. And it also makes for fantastic group discussion or as an illustration in a sermon or a lesson. You can find it by searching YouTube for The Ungiving Tree. Hopefully that'll take you right to that segment, that video clip. Or if you want to be sure you find it, you can click on the link in the show notes for this episode. And, you know, I also encourage you to check out the For the Life of the World video series. You can Google For the Life of the World and find it that way. Or again, you can click on the link in the show notes. And speaking of the show notes, you'll also find links there to the Exploration Group, the organization of which Dwight is the chief explorer. You'll also find links for the Stewardship Bible and even Shel Silverstein's original, The Giving Tree. Now, before I say goodbye, can I make a request? I would be so grateful if you would leave a review of this podcast on iTunes. Just go to iTunes, search for Spiritual Life and Leadership, and leave a review there. Positive reviews would be great, but more importantly, I'd appreciate honest and authentic reviews. So thanks so much for being here again. I hope that this has been a blessing to you, and I look forward to seeing you next time here on Spiritual Life and Leadership.